Cop and the Anthem. Chapter 1. Soapy's Winter Plans. Soapy moved uneasily on his bench in Madison Square, New York City. Wild geese were honking overhead on their way south. Wives without fur coats suddenly became kinder to their husbands as they strolled on the streets in front of the shops. When you see these things, you know that winter is coming. A dead leaf fell into Soapy's lap. That leaf was Jack Frost's calling card. Jack is kind enough to the inhabitants of Madison Square to warn them that he is coming soon. At every corner, he hands these cards to the north wind so that all who receive one can make plans for the coming freezing weather. Soapy knew that he had to start thinking of ways to deal with the difficulties of colder weather. How would he stay warm? Where would he sleep? This is why he moved uneasily on his park bench. Soapy did not have great ambitions for his annual winter hibernation. He did not dream about cruising on a ship in the Mediterranean. Instead, he just wanted 3 months on Blackwell's Island. There, he would surely have 3 hot meals a day and a warm bed every night. Also, he would have good company with whom to spend the winter days. This was as high as Soapy dared to dream. For the past several winters, the prison on Blackwell's Island had been Soapy's home. While his more fortunate neighbors made their winter plans to vacation in sunny southern spots, Soapy made plans to move into Blackwell Prison. And now the time had come. The previous night was so cold that even after stuffing 3 Sunday newspapers under his clothes, Soapy had still been cold. He could not sleep on his bench near the spurting fountain in the ancient square. Today, Soapy could think of nothing else but the island. He did not consider asking for charity. In Soapy's mind, the legal system was kinder than charitable institutions. There were many such institutions, both civil and religious, that would give help to Soapy if he asked. However, to Soapy's proud way of thinking, charity came with a price. His pride was hurt every time someone gave him something for free. In addition, if he was given a bed, he would be required to take a bath. If he accepted bread, the person giving it would often ask many very personal questions.
No way,
thought Soapy about going to a charitable institution.
It's much better to be a guest of the law. The law always follows the same rules, and it does not involve itself with one's personal affairs.
Soapy was determined to go to the island, but he had to decide how to get there. There were many easy ways of doing this. The most pleasant one was to eat a fabulous meal at an expensive restaurant, and then announce he could not pay. He would go quietly with the police when they were called. Then a judge would give him a ticket to the island for at least the entire winter. Having set his mind on this objective, Soapy got up off his bench and walked out of the square. He crossed the intersection of Broadway and Fifth Avenue and turned up Broadway. He stopped in front of a glittering cafe where many delicious items were displayed. Soapy had confidence in his appearance from the lowest button of his vest upward. His face was clean-shaven, and his coat was nice. He was wearing a new tie that had been given to him by a lady missionary on Thanksgiving Day just a few weeks ago. If he could make it to a table in the restaurant and sit down, Soapy would succeed in his plan. His lower body would not be visible to the waiter as he ordered the most expensive meal on the menu, along with a bottle of fine wine and an expensive cigar.
"I'll have a roasted duck,"
thought Soapy. He figured that he would not run up a huge bill so that the restaurant owner would demand revenge. However, the meal would be enough to make him happy at the start of his voyage to his winter home. With these happy thoughts, Soapy entered the cafe. However, as soon as he set foot inside the door, the head waiter looked at him suspiciously. The waiter saw Soapy's old and frayed trousers, as well as his ruined shoes. Suddenly, Soapy felt the strong hands of several waiters on his shoulders and back as he was quietly and quickly turned around and pushed back outside. Soapy left Broadway. It seemed that his route to the island of his desire would not involve food. He had to think of another way to get to his winter haven. At a corner of 6th Avenue, a large glass window attracted Soapy's attention. It was a beautiful sight, with Christmas lights and a nice display showing off the store's products. Soapy picked up a stone and threw it through the glass. People came running around the corner, a policeman in the lead. Soapy stood still with his hands in his pockets and smiled at the sight of the policeman's badge.
"Where's the man who did that?"
asked the officer excitedly.
"Don't you think that I might have had something to do with it?"
said Soapy in a friendly voice as he welcomed his good fortune. The policeman's mind refused to accept Soapy as a suspect. Men who smash windows do not stick around to talk to policemen. Men like that run away. The policeman saw a man halfway down the block running to catch a car. He took out his club and ran after the unfortunate citizen. Soapy, with disgust in his heart, went away, twice unsuccessful. On the opposite side of the street was an average-looking restaurant. Its regular customers were people with large appetites who could not pay a lot for a meal. The plates and atmosphere were thick, its soup and tablecloths thin. Soapy walked inside with his old shoes and ragged pants, and no one challenged him. He sat at a table and ate a large steak, pancakes, donuts, and a piece of pie. At the end of his meal, he confessed to the waiter that he had not even a penny in his pockets.
"Now get busy and call a cop," said Soapy. "And don't keep a gentleman waiting."
"No cop for you," said the waiter. He had a thick voice and red eyes. He called another waiter who was larger and stronger. "Hey, Con!" The two waiters threw Soapy out onto the hard street. He landed on his left ear. Soapy got up slowly, limb by limb, checking for broken bones. Satisfied that he was not seriously injured, he beat the dust from his clothes. Arrest seemed like but a faraway dream. The island seemed a distant paradise. A policeman who stood before a drugstore two doors away laughed and walked down the street.